The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You heard him correctly. This is the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum, and my next guest is off the chain. I know y'all been wanting to hear from him. I told you earlier in the show, I hope you got your seatbelt on. We're going to have a really good time. My next guest is the expert in communicating American exceptionalism to the common man by making political politics personal. He's a Christian, conservative, an American that happens to be black, wasn't always a conservative like myself, the man that needs no introduction at all. Welcome to the show, Carl Jackson.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be on.
Yeah, Carl, I mean, it's so good to hear from you, man. I can't say nothing but great things about you. I watched the show right before I started, and you were so graceful and welcoming me with open arms to the show. And I tell you what, man, I really appreciated every single person that I talked to about you, that listened to the show, that said you are such an amazing man, and I'm glad to have you here. And I wanted to talk to you about the condition of America and what does it mean moving forward for black people in America.
Yeah, honestly, man, I got to tell you, America is in a place, Brandon, where I've written about this stuff and I've talked about it for over 10 years. And you write about this stuff, you talk about it, and I know you can imagine this too, but I don't think you can, you never get to a point, or at least I did, where I didn't think that I'd see everything that I spoke about and others spoke about coming to fruition, especially this quickly. I mean, not just for the black community, but for Americans in general, we are in dire straits. And I know we say this every election cycle, but I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I believe this is true, that if we don't win this election cycle and if we don't win 2024, and I'm not just talking about with the Republican brand. I'm talking about with people that are going to go to Washington, D.C., people that are going to go to the state legislatures and straight up fight against evil. If we don't win with those type of people, I think this country is pretty much finished.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Carl Jackson live with me. And I think that, Carl, you're on the right track. I mean, I feel the exact same way that you feel about the dire need for us to perform in the midterms, because it is over if we do not, because they will lock in their cronies. They're going to get these left wing lunatics in there. They're going to be voting for abortion on demand. They're going to try to put conservatives who stand up for truth to put them away forever. I believe that they are on the path of doing that. But I want to know from you, what do you think the solution is? Because we can talk about the problem. We all know what the problems are. But I think people like yourself, Carl, that's been in this for a very long time, that you know what's going on. You have the pulse of the people. What is a solution to this problem from your perspective?
All right. So I think there's three that are real easy. That's Christ, Constitution, Capitalism. Actually, let's add four. Courage. So four C's: Christ, Constitution, Capitalism, Courage. I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel. I think we just have to continue to stand up for what we believe. Brandon, you've done it. I mean, you created Blackface with Candace Owens. You guys have had amazing success as a result of that. You see young black people that are willing to turn away from the Democratic Party. And so I just think we need more of that. I just think that we need to continue to speak the truth. I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel. I don't think we have to do anything amazingly special. We just have to stand up for what we believe, and we have to press forward. I think oftentimes conservatives, we shrink back. We're nice. We're polite. And you know what? There's a time and a place for that. Especially, you know, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. We want to obey the Lord. We want to do right. Right by people. But I think sometimes people get this impression that Christians have to be weak, and we're not supposed to be weak. I mean, we're supposed to be meek, but we're not supposed to be weak. Right. And I think God has put us on this earth for such a time as this, and I think we're called to fight. When I think about America, I think about the blessings of America. I know America has its same path, but you know what? So does the rest of the world. Slavery was universal, all that stuff. You know the deal. But we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to fight for what we believe in. As conservatives, we go to work, we put our heads down, and we just do the day to day. But now it's time to say no. You push back, like this chick that was in the disinformation governance board. How conservatives? I know this isn't going to sound nice, but I was happy that conservatives started to mock her. I think that we need to be willing to mock people that aren't serious. I'm just speaking straight up. When it comes to black leftists and black liberals that do more damage to the black community than good, then I'm sorry. You push back against them. You're going to get called names. You know this. You're going to get called names. You're going to get called everything. But you know what? There's no affirmative action plan in heaven. That doesn't exist. God is going to judge every single person individually. And I think he put us in America at this time for such a time as this. And we just got to fight. So Christ put God first. Constitution, it is the best document ever written by man. I believe that it's divine in nature. Capitalism, I think capitalism is the best system. I mean, you can go through Matthew 25 in the Bible. We're going to have to give an account for the talents that God has given us. So we can't count on big government. We can't count on any of that stuff. I think that black people, I hate the fact that black people or the Democrat Party has the black population, the vast majority of the black population or voters anyway, just submissive to the Democrat Party, to big government. And I'm like, no, man, it's small government, it's big God. Black people don't have to be oppressed. Black people aren't lesser than anybody else. We're just as capable of learning and thriving and doing anything like anybody else. So I got to tell you, just being straight up, the people that call me a sellout, I'm like, no, you're the sellout. I'm the one that's sharing the gospel with people. I'm the one, like you are, doing the same thing, Brandon. I'm the one that's saying, listen, wait a minute. God created you just like he created everybody else. You're going to be responsible to him. What gifts did he give you? And use those gifts. It's simple. It's simple. So I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel. Just do Christ, Constitution, capitalism. And you got to have courage.
I love it, Carl. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Carl Jackson on Twitter. It's Carl Jackson Show on all the social media platforms. Also, Salem Podcast Network. Make sure you check out Carl Jackson Show. You couldn't have said it any better, Carl. Christians need to be strong. Christians need to be bold and powerful. This is not a time for Christians to back down and be cowardice and weak and always turn another cheek. You got to think, David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath. A lot of people only remember the story when they were in kindergarten and they were playing it nice. David hit Goliath in the head with a stone and beheaded him. It's not a time to be weak. And I'm not saying that's what we should be doing is beheading people. But I think most people listening know what I'm talking about. We have to stand up for what's right. We cannot be afraid to call these devils out when we see them. Jesus did it. Almost every word he said, he called the Pharisees vipers, untoward generation, hypocrites. These are the things that we need to continue to do if we want to be successful.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think black people want anything different than anyone else wants. We want the ability to be able to thrive in society just like everyone else. And we have to be willing to fight for those things in order to continue thriving. And it always amazes me how these black leftists will talk about this is white culture and that's white culture. If you're on time, if you're successful, you do all this kind of stuff. But every single one of these people, like I see Joy Reid and Don Lemon on TV, they followed those exact same principles to get to where they're at. And then they keep other black people down. To me, that's a sellout. To me, that's a sellout.
1,000%, Carl Jackson. I couldn't agree with you more. They are the ones who are selling their souls to the devil. They are the ones who, behind closed doors, are doing all of the things that they mock people of doing. We just saw LeBron James' son take a white girl to the prom, which I think there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're going to be out in the public bashing white people, acting like black people are afraid to make a move in front of white people, and then your son is secretly dating a white girl. It to me, the contradiction is the problem. I think that people should let that social justice stuff put it aside and say, look, man, we're all here in America. We all love this country. We all want to strive to do what's right, and we want to make a difference. And we can all work together and do it. We don't have to be enemies. Carl, I'm going to give you the last word. I have about a minute left.
Yeah, I mean, as far as LeBron James and his son is concerned, maybe LeBron James's son is going to teach him a lesson that America isn't as racist, all right, as he's been saying. So that's funny. I didn't even know that, so I'm glad you brought that to my attention. That's funny. But yeah, sometimes that's how God works. So that ain't that funny.
Amen. Thank you, Carl. Thank you for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to Carl Jackson. Follow him on the Salem Podcast Network, Carl Jackson. Carl Jackson Show on all social media platforms. We'll see you after the break. As you know, our friend Mike Liddell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He did not stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike Liddell has done it again, introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click the radio listener's square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com.
Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. The gentleman that you heard so eloquently speak about the issues of America was Carl Jackson in the last segment. Carl Jackson can be found on this podcast at Salem Podcast Network, Carl Jackson Show on all social media platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you not only that I love America, but I love American patriots who do great work. And Mike Lindell is one of those people. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are having a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join Americans. The quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, 6-piece towel sets, roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 1-800-858-0263. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on special select products. You will also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-858-0263 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and enter promo code Tatum. So many callers are calling in. 844-900-7243. I'm going to get these callers in. You guys have added a tremendous value to this segment, and I appreciate you for it. I'm going to just randomly pick one of y'all. Amy from Texas, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
For taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
So I just wanted to chime in after hearing about the cadets. I retired after 34 years of Air Force service because I would not get the vaccine.
Wow.
They pushed it. They made it mandatory. I was in a leadership position, and I could not ask my young airmen to take the jab. I was quickly retired out of there and pushed about my merry way. There's been pilots who have had strokes. There's people that are having autoimmune issues. I don't even have the words to say how it hurts my heart. These are my brothers and sisters, and they have been forced to make a choice. At least I could retire. Not many can. When you're a 20-something year old with 10 years in the military, you're going to take the jab.
Amy, that's It's so sad to hear, and thank you for your service, and thank you for being a stand-up person and holding true to your values. And I know that you had mentioned, and I know that this is true, that you had an option to retire, and I know it would have probably been a more of a difficult decision if you did not have that option, but thank you for standing strong. Thank you for your call, and I really do think, I hope that other people are listening to what Amy said, because we are in a fight, and this is not right. We need to speak about it every chance we get. And I don't know what I can do about it, but I'm going to try to find a solution that I can be a part of. I know talking about it on the radio and giving people like Amy a voice on the radio to talk about it is one step in the right direction, but we have to hold these people accountable. This is not right. You cannot force somebody to take a vaccine. They don't do that in many other cases. And then you see people having strokes and different adverse effects to the vaccine. What is going to be done about this? The government cannot do this to its citizens. It actually makes no sense to me. Why are they even pushing a vaccine on young, healthy people? They don't need to take the vaccine, in my opinion. Now, if your medical professional or your doctor tells you you should, then you can make a decision of whether or not you want to listen to him or listen to your gut. But this is not right what they're doing. Tom from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Is this the officer and the gentleman, Brandon Tatum?
Yes, sir. Thus is I.
Well, welcome, sir. And, you know, it was great to hear your previous guest, your immediate predecessor there. And what was so great about it is the fact that you both emphasized the Christianity and the God thing, because that's got to be first and foremost as we march forward as Christian soldiers together to deal with this evil. And there is, I don't know if it's systemic racism or systematic racism, but Margaret Sanger, sir, was at the forefront of that. And I just heard a quote that I'd forgotten about that LBJ said about the Great Society. And he said, advancing the systematic racism against blacks, he said, according to this quote, that I'm going to get those N-words to vote Democratic for 200 years by passing the Great Society. That's some sort of form of awful racism, sir. I don't know what is.
Hey, man, Tom, I agree with you 1,000%. You got to put God first. And also, that is true that LBJ said he's going to have these N-words voting for 200 years. This is the way the Democrats act. Tom, thank you for your call. This is the way the Democrats act. They are the racist party. Are there systems in place that are racist? I don't believe so. But I think that there are systems in place that have a racial disproportionality or a racial disproportionate effect on black people. And many of those policies that are put in place should be, you know, some of those policies that are put in place should be changed and examined. But I personally believe that although there's things that could hold some people back, potentially, maybe it's not just because of their race, maybe it's because of their socioeconomic status or because they don't fit in well with being lazy, you can still overcome. That's my mission and my voice in that arena is to say you can still overcome. But if you want to talk about racism, these Democrats are the ones that are racist. Jim Crow, racist. Slavery, racist Democrats. You can go down the list. They did not want black people to get the right to citizenship, the right to vote, to be for slavery to be abolished. They didn't want that. And they lied to you today and say they did, but they really didn't. Phil from Philadelphia, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Officer Tatum, what a great young man, stand-up guy you are, and they couldn't have picked anybody better to come in after Carl. I mean, we all miss Larry, but hey, man, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad you're grabbing the helm and running with it. I just wanted to give you a quick rundown. We're still waiting for a winner of the Dr. Oz and McCormick vote. It happened 2 days ago. What happened was they used an outside vendor to mail out a bulk mailing. Everything was approved by the commission before it went out. Somebody at the printing shop with the outside vendor changed one number on the scanning. They couldn't scan 21,000, so they had to do it by hand. They're still counting 21,000 votes. Now, the way I looked at it, Officer Tatum, this is just a dry run. I mean, they wanted to see if they could pull something off in case they needed, in general, to bring in box replacement ballots. I mean, call me crazy, but who would have ever thunk that a leak could have came from the Supreme Court? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Phil. Thank you for the call, Phil. I'm coming up against a hard break. Hang on in there. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. This is your host, Brandon Tatum, and I have a special guest coming into the house tonight. The Sage from South Central L.A., born in South Central L.A., one of the greatest men to ever live. It's going to go down in history as my next guest being one of the greatest black men, black conservatives in general, who ever lived on planet Earth. One of the smartest men I know, a great man. Produced Uncle Tom. I was involved in Uncle Tom, one of the greatest documentaries. Y'all need to see it. My next guest that's coming on, and I'm so excited to have him, Larry Elder. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Brandon, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, so Larry, I got so much I want to talk to you about. Obviously, I want to say in front of the world that I definitely appreciate your blessing, allowing me to take this position on your show. The show that you retired from, and allowing me to go on and continue the legacy that you had here on this network and this station. But I got a question for you, Larry. I was talking about this in my last segment, and people have mixed emotions about this. So LeBron James, his son, took a white girl to prom. LeBron James took a white girl to the prom. But the thought process is that what do you think about interracial marriages? Do you think interracial marriages are something that is because of race, or do you think it's because of culture? What's your thoughts, Larry?
I don't really put a whole lot of thought into it. I think people choose people based upon whether or not they feel compatible, whether or not they feel they have the same kind of values they have. And today in our society, I don't think anybody cares. I'm in California, and I think one in every five marriage in California is considered to be an interracial marriage. They're increasing. So I don't think anybody cares. Now, the LeBron James thing is interesting to me because, Brandon, when I look at some of the comments, many of them were vicious comments that came apparently from black people. Now, you don't know who wrote them. Could be somebody sitting in their shorts in their basement smoking the blunt. So it's hard to say exactly, you know, who wrote what. But some of the stuff appeared to have come from black people. And I would think that black people should be the last people in the world to be criticizing somebody because of the choice of the person that they've chosen. I mean, isn't MLK tell us that you got to be talking about content of character rather than color of skin? I think, frankly, that a lot of people were upset for a couple of reasons. Number one, she was really, really, really pretty. And number two, most people can't afford a $326,000 Mercedes. But, you know, look, I think most people in the world couldn't have cared less. And we ought not let the, the deviant and the aberrant define the normal and the customary. You know, I remember when Hank Aaron was about ready to break Babe Ruth's record, and he had all this hate mail, and he kept all of it. He talked about it for years, and I don't doubt that he got it. I don't doubt that it hurt his feelings. But most people couldn't have cared less. Most baseball fans couldn't have cared less. It was a minority of idiots that wrote those letters, and I'm sure an even smaller number now would have written them, having had some time to reflect over it. So who cares? I mean, did Kamala Harris and Ketanji Brown Jackson weigh in on this, both of whom have white spouses? I don't think anybody cares anymore. And if they do, it's their own sickness.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. And the Gallup poll agrees as well. At 94% of people who were interviewed or polled said that they couldn't care less about the race of someone's skin. And it begs the question at the racism that we see in America. I think a lot of people point the finger at white supremacists, which I think there are white supremacists in the country. And of course, some of them are probably the most vile racist people that we know. But I would argue, and I could be wrong, Larry, I want to hear from you. I think that from my background growing up in the black community, I feel as if black people come across more racist in many of these situations than white people do.
Well, this has been polled. The Rasmussen poll has done a couple of them over the years, and they've asked, Brandon, whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Asians, of these four groups, which is the most racist. Whites have said blacks are the most racist. Hispanics have said blacks are the most racist. Asian Americans said blacks are the most racist. Blacks said blacks are the most racist. Now, nobody said a majority of any group is racist, but of those who said this group is the most racist, each one said blacks more than anybody else, including blacks. And the Anti-Defamation League has for years taken surveys on the amount of anti-Semitism in the country, and blacks are 2.5 to 3 times more likely to be anti-Semitic than non-black Gentiles. So, you know, a lot of us need to look in the mirror here, and before we start yelling and screaming about white supremacy and white racism, we need to make sure that our own house is in order.
1,000%. This is one of the concepts that I think you and I agree on, and the reason why I love your commentary so much is that I feel like looking in the mirror is the most beneficial thing that any group of people can do, any American can do, any father, mother, whatever demographic you want to put yourself in. Looking in the mirror is the most invaluable asset to you becoming the best version of yourself and having an articulable argument if you are going to have one about issues that go on in the country. Larry, what do you think about these mass shootings? Because I saw that you put out a tweet, and I thought it was an amazing tweet, and I used it in my show about mass shootings and the misinterpretation, or at least the misunderstanding of who's more responsible. So can you mention or at least talk a little bit about the tweet that you put out that showed the race of people in the mass shootings and percentage and population?
Sure. Sure. It started, of course, because of what happened in Buffalo, the horrific shooting that was, done by this white supremacist who put on this manifesto, I think, 2 days before he did the shooting spree about how much he hated black people. And Joe Biden went there, and that's fine. That's what the commander-in-chief is supposed to do. He's supposed to be the commiserator-in-chief, but he didn't go to Waukesha, Wisconsin, when that guy, black guy, got behind that SUV and plowed through all those white people at that Christmas parade. And 6 people were killed. He didn't go there, and the Biden administration put out a statement and said, well, we didn't go there because it would have required the use of a great deal of assets, their word, not mine. Well, required a great deal of assets to go to Buffalo, and the reason for Buffalo is because this is a white dude doing it, and that advances their narrative. When, in fact, if you look at who's doing mass shootings, mass killings, I say mass killings because Waukesha wasn't a shooting, it was a killing. As a percentage of the population, blacks are roughly 13%. Blacks commit about 17.5% of the mass shootings and mass killings. So blacks are overrepresented when it comes to mass shootings and mass killings. Whites, at 63% of the population, commit about 54% of these mass shootings, mass killings, so they are underrepresented. And the same thing is true, by the way, of hate crime. Blacks are overrepresented in hate crimes, and whites, compared to their percentage of the population, are underrepresented. But this does not fit the script. And so most people are unaware of this, and they assume that white people are running around, racist white people are running around mowing down black people. In fact, if you look at the homicides in this country, almost half of the homicide victims are black, around 7,000. I think in 2020 it was 8,600, according to the New York Post. Almost all killed by other black people. It is rare for a white person to kill a black person. It is rare for a black person to kill a white person. But if you want to play that game, roughly there are about 750 black-white or white-black interracial homicides every year in recent years. 250 blacks are killed by whites. 500 whites are killed by blacks. So the percentage of black people killed by white people is about 2.9%. But we don't care about that. We don't care about what's going on in Chicago. We don't care about what's going on in New York and in L.A., where a disproportionate percentage of the black victims of homicide are black and brown, because it doesn't fit the script. It's just a lie that white racism remains a major peril in America. If anything, the percentage of white people who say they would never vote for a black person for president is now down to about 3 or 4% if they felt that person was qualified. The first time Gallup ever asked that question, Brandon, was in the 50s, and only 38% of white people said they would vote for a qualified black person for president. So it's a lie. America is the only majority white country that's ever elected and reelected a black person for president, and we're talking about racism more now than ever before. It's ridiculous.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's tiring. I had a caller just on a minute ago named James, and he said that one of the biggest issues that we are facing in the United States of America is to defeat Russia, and the second most dire issue is equality in this country. And I could not disagree with him more, because there's a difference between equality and equity. I think he meant he wanted more equity in this country. And I feel like that equality is already accomplished. You have equal opportunity to do your best. You can't control if your parents were drug dealers or drug users. You can't control if you were born into poverty, but you can't control mm-hmm. what you do every single day, 24 hours in a day that you get. You can control if you're making positive decisions in that day or you're making negative decisions in that day.
Absolutely. And the reason, in my opinion, that you and I, black conservatives, get so much grief on social media is because when you tell people that, no, nobody's holding you back, you then have to deal with the ugly, awful truth of looking into the mirror and saying, if I'm unhappy, if I'm unsuccessful, if I didn't get what I want, it's because of things I did or didn't do, and I cannot blame anybody else. And that's a cold, hard place to be.
Yeah, Larry, can you join me for one more segment?
I
want to hear from you. I mean, you have such a great insight. This is where I get a lot of my knowledge from, ladies and gentlemen. And I know a lot of you guys have over several years that Larry has been in this very spot. So you're listening to the Brandon Tatum Show. Y'all hold the phone. Catch you after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. I got Larry Elder on the line. If you're calling in, you got to hold the phone because I'm going to finish up talking to the GOAT, Larry Elder, and then I'll bring you guys in a little later in the show. Larry Elder, you ran for governor of California. I want you to walk us through that experience. You know, I feel like that you were the most qualified person. California would have been so blessed to have you to run that state, to get that state back in order. But you received a lot of backlash, from the haters, from the leftists. Calling you a black white supremacist or something of that nature. Can you explain to the audience just a little bit, like, what was your experience and will you be interested in running again or for something, a greater position?
Well, I think a lot of voters now have voted for Morris Brandon. I think a lot of people now wish they had voted for me because since then the crime has gone up, the homelessness has gotten worse. The rate at which people are leaving California has picked up. The schools haven't gotten any better. So I think a whole lot of people now regret that they didn't vote for me. But it was a wonderful experience. I wouldn't have traded it for the world. The reason I did it is because it was a recall election. You know, a Republican has not won statewide here in California in 20 years. So a one-against-one race is almost impossible to win. But this was a recall. So if a majority of Californians had agreed to recall Gavin Newsom and they did not, whoever got the most votes on the replacement side would have won. And I got 3.5 million votes on the replacement side, more than virtually all the other 46 rivals combined. I raised $22 million in about 7.5 weeks. That was more than the Republican rivals raised combined. But, yeah, you're right. I was attacked. I was attacked primarily by papers like the New York, like the L.A. Times and the Sacramento Bee. One of the writers for the L.A. Times, who's black, referred to me as, quote, the black face of white supremacy. You've been warned, was the headline. A Latina for the L.A. Times called my views white supremacist. And one of them quoted a state senator in California as saying, if Larry Elder becomes governor of California, we'll go back to Jim Crow. What is it I've said, friend? My parents both experienced Jim Crow. My mother's from Alabama. My dad is from Georgia. I know about Jim Crow. What the hell is I'm going to do to bring back Jim Crow? I mean, that's the kind of insanity that I had to deal with. But as to running again against him in November, I'm not going to do that because the electoral math is almost impossible to overcome. We're outnumbered. We, meaning Republicans, are outnumbered in California 3-1. And when Arnold Schwarzenegger recalled the first time that a governor was recalled, that was in 2003. Since then, there are now 5% more registered Democrats, 50% more registered independents, and independents in California vote Democrat, and 33% fewer registered Republicans. A whole lot of people have left California in the last couple of years, Brandon, something like 300,000, and many of them Republicans, and they've taken their votes with them. So right now what I'm doing is I've got a political action committee called ElderForAmerica.com where I'm raising money to campaign for school choice, campaign to get rid of these soft on crime DAs, to campaign against critical race theory, and for programs to strengthen families, because that's the number one domestic problem in America, the large number of kids, particularly black kids, who enter the world without a father married to the mother. And the other thing I'm doing, and I'm doing a daily one-hour live TV show for Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times. It's on Monday through Thursday. It comes on from 2 p.m. until 3 p.m. Our time. And so anybody can go online and check it out. It's for free. And until 20 minutes, and then you have to switch over to Epic Times, which is, I think, about $9 a month to subscribe to all the programming for Epic Times. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm traveling around the country campaigning for some of the Republicans in very important districts, we can take back the House and take back the Senate.
Well, I love that, Larry. I love that you are out still grinding, man. I mean, you've been doing this for a while, but you still have the American spirit in you, helping out other people, you know, giving other people opportunities, giving people like me hope. And I hope that you guys that are listening will go out and support Larry Elder, elderforamerica.com. You could go on and help out the mission that Larry Elder has put into place. Larry Elder on Twitter. Y'all should go out and support. I mean, Larry Elder, you have been such an inspiration to myself. Candace talks about you all the time. You know, her and I started Blexit together. I was so proud to be in Uncle Tom, the documentary. I thought it made such an incredible impact. I have one more question for you, because you had mentioned that people had came out against you, and there were black people or people who are saying that they're black and they love black people, and they come out against you and say that you are a white supremacist and all of these crazy things. Larry, why do you believe that black people are the most critical of black conservative men like you and I?
They swallow the line. They swallow the line that's been pushed by the Democratic Party. The Republican Party is racist, and anybody who supports the Republican Party, therefore, is racist if he's white, is an Uncle Tom if he's black. They've drunk the Kool-Aid. That's what's happened. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, people like Bill Clinton, and I would say Barack Obama did a great deal of damage. This is a man who got a higher percentage of the white vote than John Kerry, and here he is coming into the White House saying that the Cambridge police acted stupidly. Racism is in America's DNA. We have our own problems at a place called Ferguson when Ferguson was a lie. Michael Brown did not say don't shoot, did not say his hands are up. So in my opinion, people like Barack Obama and Eric Holder did a great deal of damage because these are people who are respected. They're well-educated. They're articulate. They're not blowhards like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And so when those guys say that racism remains a major problem in America, it convinces a lot of people that it is. When, in fact, they never could have been successful as they are if, in fact, racism were a major problem in America. It's never been less significant. Racism has never been a less important factor in success in American life than today. But we're talking more about it than ever before because the Democrats know in order to make sure 13% of the electorate, that's blacks, and the guilty white people, in order to get that vote, they've got to keep talking about how much racism there is in America. It's a fraud and it's a scam.
Larry, I got one more thing for you. I think I got a little bit of time. Do you believe that there's hope? We got 2 minutes. Do you believe that there's hope for change? Because I'm not going to lie, Larry, I get discouraged at times thinking of when I go on these black blogs and I see all of the great things that black conservatives are doing, people like Thomas Sowell, yourself, the books that are written, and we get so much criticism. I wonder, is there hope to change a good majority or at least a fraction of the demographic of black voters in America?
Well, first of all, let me just say real quickly, Uncle Tom 2 comes out on June 19th, and we're going to continue the effort to open up people's eyes about that. Yeah, I think there is hope. I think ultimately the truth wins. I believe if the captain of the Titanic had known the iceberg was ahead, he would have taken evasive action. It's right. Your job, it's my job to tell people, iceberg ahead, let's take evasive action. And again, the number one problem in America for black people is not systemic racism, it's not institutional racism, it's not inherent racism. It is the large number, 70% of black kids who enter the world without a father married to the mother. That is the number one problem in America, and you have to explain why we've gone from 25% a black kid in the world in 1955 out of wedlock to 70% today. You cannot blame that on slavery, on Jim Crow, or, dare I say, on Donald Trump.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The sage from South Central, Larry Elder. I just cannot say enough great things about you, Larry. Thank you so much for all of the blessings that you've, you know, put in my life. You know, the conversation that you and I had the other night at that hotel, and you kept it 100 with me. You kept me straight, and it really made me a better man. So I can't thank you enough, Larry. God bless you. Thank you for coming on my show and blessing us with your presence. I hopefully we'll talk soon.
Well, God bless you, Brandon. Thank you so much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The Sage from South Central. Go on to elderforamerica.com. Follow him on Twitter. His Twitter is on fire. LarryElder.com. And also, Uncle Tom 2 is coming out. You don't want to miss it. Epic Times as well. Podcast is on Epic Times. Follow Larry Elder. You're listening to The Austin Tatum Show.
See you. Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Got callers calling in. The number is 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I'm going to say this till I'm pink in the face. I feel like the left and these Democrats are not acting in good faith. They are not acting in good faith. Why, Mr. Tatum? What solutions are they proposing? It's easy to say we need comprehensive gun control. What does that mean? What does comprehensive gun control mean? Now, none of them are going to tell you exactly what it means because it's fluff. It's a virtue signal. It's not signaling any real solutions. If you are telling me, and if you disagree with me, I'd love for you to call in. If you're telling me taking guns away from every single citizen in the United States of America, just say you start with rifles. Taking away rifles from every citizen in the United States of America is a quicker fix to kids getting murdered in the school than to put an armed person at the school or allow teachers to be armed. Make this make sense to me. Do you know how long it will take for them to confiscate every gun in the United States of America, every rifle? There's hundreds of millions of rifles in the United States of America. And it's going to take them decades. While they're trying to confiscate everybody's guns, kids are still going to get shot to death. The quickest solution is the taxpayer dollar we're already paying to law enforcement, put a police officer in a school with a rifle, and I guarantee you these cowards that want to come and hit soft targets is going to take one to the dome and they won't do it again. Caller John from Santa Cruz, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi there.
Yes, hey, John.
I got a quick question for you.
If
the Democrats really wanted to take guns out of the hands of criminals, why did they stop all the stop and frisk laws that we already had in place to get criminal guns off the streets? The Democrats killed every one of those laws.
Ding, 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 ding. You're right, John. They don't care. This is not a Democrat strategy. They wanted to play the race card. They wanted to make it seem like Republicans are the racist people who hate black people, and that's why stop and frisk needs to be stopped. Crime rates went down tremendously when stop and frisk was in place. They were confiscating tons of guns off of the streets. But Democrats really don't care about that. They want to virtue signal in whatever way they can to get to vote. That was a great question, John. Thank you for the call, John. That was a great question. I didn't know if he wanted to follow up or not. Daniel from, what's that, Richwood, Texas. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your previous law enforcement activities. There's only one law that they need to pass, and that would be that every able-bodied American in the United States should be required to get trained on a gun and carry that gun with them everywhere. If you had a bunch of people standing around you that are possibly armed, then you're not going to come in and shoot up the place. There should be, if you have a religious objection or you just object to guns, fine. You don't have to carry one. Israel does it right. Every one of their citizens go into the armed services and get trained. That should be what we do.
Daniel, thank you so much for the call. 100% correct. I don't know why we don't do this. You know, I teach my son how to use a gun safety. My son is very comfortable with shooting a gun. Now, if something happens and daddy take one to the leg and I go down and I can't get to my gun, I bet you my son can grab one and defend us. Now, I'll never have to put him in that position, hopefully. But why are we so afraid to teach our children and young people how to use guns? Why are we so afraid of guns? To personally own a gun is to feel secure and safe. When I go places, I carry a gun everywhere I go. I know for a fact that when you around me, you're in the safest place in the state of Arizona. Because if it jump off, I'm ready to go. And I bet I'm a better shot than the person that's trying to conduct a mass shooting. They're going to take an L in front of everybody. And I'm not only going to protect my family, I'm going to protect you as well. Don't you want somebody like me around you with a gun? People get crazy with it. Oh, it's a scary gun. No, you want that gun when the rubber hit the road. You want to see me when a lunatic come out there and start shooting people. I can't stand when I hear people say that. Just imagine yourself. And I'm going to take some more of the callers. Call in at 844-900-7243. Just imagine if some lunatic want to do a home invasion in your house. As a man, do you feel like a man if you have to put your hands up and cower while somebody duct tape you and hurt your children in front of you? Okay, that's what I thought. You need to have a gun to protect yourself. This is not about a political stunt. That's why God gave us the rights to keep and bear arms that the government's supposed to be observing and making sure that violation does not occur. Sean from Apple Valley, California. Welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Thank you. My thoughts are what they need to do is get like four people from the office can probably be best. Get four people that work close together. Get them some weapons. Get them body armor and train them and put them through the active shooter program. So if something pops off, they can respond. They're in the school just like law enforcement would.
Sean, I think you made an incredible point. That's a great point. I do not disagree. I can't imagine a caller would call in and disagree with what Sean said. Train people. I mean, I don't understand what's the adverse reaction to saying train people at the school to protect the kids. I think teachers should go through a course to learn how to fight. Just a case of parent come in there and want to beat up kids or something, then you can at least defend your children. Let me tell you something. I would imagine it that most teachers, they love the children that they spend time with and they are responsible for. There is no teacher on planet Earth that will feel comfortable at the end of the day knowing they had no chance of helping and defending the children that they protect every day or that they teach every day. I bet you most kids, most teachers want that ability to protect their students. But these states don't want them to have that ability because I guess it's the boogeyman of scary guns is going to scare people off. Betsy from Texas, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you, Officer Tatum. Thank you, Officer Tatum. What I would like to tell you, and I'd like to hear your response, what I think all this violence in our country is from is sexual sin. It goes back to Genesis 6, when you have strange sex. Any sex outside of marriage is strange flesh. We are to have marital sex, and that's it. And now, since the 60s, we've had the sexual revolution. Then we had gay rights and sexual gay marriage. Now we have transsexual. And then the next thing is going to be bestiality, and it just keeps going because there's no depth to human sin. And, of course, you get violent. Same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing with it just keeps going. I can give you more and more examples in the Bible. And I want to know what you think about my theory.
Betsy, thank you so much for the call. You know, I get where Betsy's coming from. I think that the delivery initially was a little bit different. But I get what Betsy's coming from, because what happens is when you engage in sin, the sin nature of people, the corruptive sin nature or sin behavior corrupts not only the mind, the body, the spirit, you begin to be corrupted in all forms of life. And I don't think it's just one person sinning in a sexual manner that Betsy may be making this point. But my point is that it's the culmination of so much sin that's going on. The degradation, the falling away from the rudiments of Christ, all of those things lead to a depraved mind that then leads you to other forms of violent acts, whether it be violence in a sexual manner, whether it be violence in physical violence, violence with firearms, weapons, lying, stealing, cheating, all of the depraved minded behaviors that come with a lack of God in your consciousness. So I think Betsy had a really, really good point. I got 1 minute, Gage. Can you give me something in 1 minute? Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Tatum, you're a funny dude. I think every officer should be trained in some kind of martial arts. So why not every teacher? You're a funny dude for, you know, I giggle when I thought about teachers fighting parents because that happens all the time now. But what's it going to take, man, for people to understand that it's not a gun control issue, it's a people issue? The guy did everything legal, and then he just illegally went and killed people illegally.
Right, Gage. Great point. Thank you for calling into the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in and be a part of the conversation, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. You're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.